Hello, friends. We're back for your favorite podcast show of the week. It's Location Weekly. This is episode number 661. And we're excited to be with you here. Brianna, how's it going?
It's going. It's like starting to feel like spring, but today's really cold, but it's sunny. I think we're getting some of the colder weather from the Midwest. I was on a call yesterday with someone from Chicago, and they're like, it's snowing outside right now, and I have a feeling it's coming your way. I'm like, don't say that. I'm ready for spring, but I'm good, you know, just a very busy season as it is for all of us and you. How are you? How are your travels?
I'm good. Yeah, I just got back from a bunch of travel. I was in Salt Lake for work, and then I went down to Guyana, down in South America, where my family's from, and spent some time with my parents and other family. And it was lovely and got to see all kinds of things about where they grew up and ate lots of good food and stuff like that. So that was totally worthwhile. And, you know, they're getting up there, so probably won't get the chance to do that again. So I enjoyed it. So it was nice. Good to be back. To our followers and listeners out there, we apologize that due to just travel and circumstances, we didn't get you a show last week, but we try not to make that happen very often. I think it's only happened twice now in the history of,
I can't remember that ever happening.
12
since
years,
I'm
I think.
The show, but yeah.
I think this is only the second one we've missed in 12 years. So,
yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good
stuff. It's pretty good run. So, anyhow, so we've got a good show for you this week. Four stories as per usual. And I'll let Aubriana jump right into it.
Okay. So I'm covering Germany this week, which is kind of fun. But this first story is from a group called Beacons Mind Group, which is a location-based marketing and analytics company. And they have a subsidiary called CADSoft, that's K-A-D-S-O-F-T. And at Germany's prestigious opera house, I'm probably gonna butcher this name, the Semperoper Dresden, they have done this whole like laser installation, if you will. So what they're calling this is advanced lamp-free laser projection. And so this is performance art. And it's really just like focused on enhancing the visual experience and also operational efficiency of the opera house in general. So they say that this lamp-free laser projection system, it's like, I don't know, all these different words I had to kind of Google. It's hermetically sealed optical block and filterless design. So what does that mean? It means you get like 20,000 hours of maintenance-free operation. That sounds great, right? Because I don't know that I want to be messing with any hermetically sealed optical block and filterless design. Sounds a little too advanced for me. It also illuminates more stage areas than before, and it's like significantly reducing the need for physical set construction because they can obviously use the lights to project a lot of those visual interesting things and like the props, right? So it's really opening up a whole new world of these creative possibilities for directors and designers. And you know what I thought about this is like kind of cool is we've been experiencing and seeing firsthand all of this, you know, generative AI like design where you can be like, show me a unicorn in the middle of a waterfall in Ireland or like whatever, you know, maybe that's top of mind since it was just St. Patrick's Day. But like, you can just say what you want it to build and it's there. And this is almost like a physical version of that, right? Where you can design something and help project it. And the possibilities for directors and creators for this opera house are probably so much faster turnover and can just like iterate really quickly, which is cool. They also have like more consistent brightness, color uniformity, and it helps if there's a, what's a diode failure. So think of like a system failure. It's a very rare event for it to happen with this type of technology. So this is cool for me. I think that the idea of a, you know, kind of quick to market creative solution with something that's much more efficient and needs less service and support is an amazing thing. So I think it's cool. I like it.
I like it too. I think it's super interesting. I have a friend of mine here in Toronto who's big in the lighting space, you know, for big concerts and corporate events and things like that. And you know, I certainly have to make him aware of this technology, you know, because it just sounds super interesting and innovative. You know, Beacon's Mind is a company that I've known for a long time now. You know, was very active in the early days of the LVMA in our German operations. You know, Max Weiland, who's the founder, I've met, you know, over the course of our events over there. So it'd be good to reconnect. Would be good to see the Beacon's Mind folks out at our Retail Loco event, which will be in Munich, in just a few weeks. That could be, you know, great to catch up. But, you know, just following these guys over the years, I think, you know, what I like about it is that, you know, they started as a, you know, location-based, you know, data analytics company, you know, with you know, sensors and things like that. They're still in that space. They provide all kinds of retail analytics, foot traffic analytics, you know, kind of coming over to the, you know, to this part of the business. So they've done a number of acquisitions as well, right? Over the years, they've acquired, you know, Wi-Fi hotspot companies, and, you know, digital signage technology and all sorts of things. So, you know, I think one of the things in this specific space, you know, with this division of the company, the CADsoft, you know, subsidiary, is, you know, they're in the display business. So the retail network business that we talk about all the time, I think, is hot right now. They also have technology for doing computer vision, so camera, like sort of video-based counting analytics, so foot traffic analytics from video cameras, let's call it. So, you know, they're very well-rounded, you know, location data analytics, but, you know, beyond that, you know, a hardware, you know, innovator as well. And I think this story, you know, makes that clearly evident. And I love to see companies just constantly pushing the boundaries and, you know, adding new capabilities to their portfolio. So I like it as well. And I think it's this specific, you know, offering around this projection type of system, I think, is very interesting and could change the game for a lot of players in the industry, in the events and you know, corporate and entertainment events space. So I like it. Thanks. All right, moving on. So we're on to our second story now. So I get to talk about one of my favorite products to consume, which is the Reese peanut butter cup. You know, you can't go wrong with a Reese peanut butter cup. And here's the funny thing is peanut butter on its own, I'm not a big fan of necessarily, but peanut butter in a chocolate cup, like that's a big thing. So back around the Super Bowl, you know, or leading up to the Super Bowl, they launched this new combination called the Reese Caramel Big Cup. And so this is like, you know, a giant size cup, but they've added caramel into it. You know, I always, you know, first of all, like when you see these innovations, I'm like, why mess with perfection, right? Like, okay, like, do we need caramel in the cup? First of all, I don't know. But what's really cool about it is the way that they put the campaign together to promote this. And so they really went all out here with a combination of AR technology and image recognition technology. And AR, not in a consumer application, in a sort of B2B, you know, back of office operation. So what they did is like in all the sort of, let's say, convenience stores and places like that that they want to sell this product, is they would go in with a tablet, and they would go into a store and like work with the store operations person or the manager. And through augmented reality, in much the same way that you see like these IKEA furniture type of applications, where you can like see an item in a catalog and then, you know, scan the floor and then, you know, position the item like in your actual house and see what it's going to look like. This is what they're doing with their product displays in stores. So like they're there and they're saying, hey, like we got this Reese, you know, big cup, caramel cup display, you know, how's that going to look in your store? Is it in the right position? Let's visualize that in advance using augmented reality. So I think that that's really interesting in itself. And then once they're done with that, then they snap a photo, and that's where the image recognition comes in, where they can identify the specific piece of merchandise in the exact location, and then they can use this to help to track sales, inventory and things like that in real time. So I love how they're taking technologies that we talk about every day on this show, image recognition, augmented reality. Typically we're talking about them in a consumer application, like scan the cereal box and something comes to life, or Lego comes with instructions on how to put it together for the kids, or all that. Here we're talking about like business, B2B applications of these technologies in, I think, a very useful way. So I'm super excited about that. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the only thing I would really add is I feel like, you think of the territory sales representatives that are going into these retailer stores and placing these like, end caps or pop-ups or like specialty boxes that they've put together for these items, and they want to know like if where they placed it was effective at driving sales or if there's a better place in the future. So I think that the idea that they can go back to that and look at specific stores where things were placed and then how they performed in terms of sales numbers is a data component that they didn't necessarily have before. So I like that they can use this for future rollouts. They can do it for like just kind of understanding, I would say, simple like numbers, right? Like where should, what are our benchmarks, benchmarking numbers. I think that's like a great ad for anybody who's simply is a numbers game, right? Like how many more units can I sell out of how many more stores that I cover? So I think that that's a great opportunity for them.
Yeah, and like if you're listening, guys, and you want to send me some samples of the new Big Cup, I'm all in. You're already my favorite chocolate, so let's keep going.
I love it. Okay,
Yeah.
so back to another German story with a fashion house, Hugo Boss, and they have set up Planet Hugo World inside of Roblox. So they have a new denim focused line that's coming out called Hugo Blue, and they are joining Roblox to really help debut this. So they have an interactive experience, what's called Hugo Fashion Match, and players get to style their denim looks and then share them with their peers. So, I think they're continuing to try and remain and I would say like merge into a younger demographic and be relevant where you're gonna see like bridging to Gen Z here is how they're seeing it. And so they're trying to have this like tailored brand marketing experience within the game. So, right now they mentioned in this story that Hugo Boss has been kind of struggling to hit some of their sales targets. So opening up to a new demographic is their one of their hopeful attempts, I think, to boost sales and just become relevant and expand maybe their addressable audience. So the Roblox players, they control the avatars. They can wear the different outfits, participate in a bunch of different in-game activities for rewards specifically. And this is kind of their stab at a digital first approach. We've talked about stories like this before. I think we talked about how Gucci had entered Roblox and done some similar things last year. And a lot of this was linked more to the metaverse, where I think that was hot topic for a little bit, seems to kind of have subsided a bit now. And there's been more focus on generative AI for a lot of retailers and how they're plugging that in. But, I think this is an interesting stab at just being a bigger destination for commerce and helping attract a wider array of an audience that maybe hasn't traditionally shopped at Hugo Boss. So, I mean, my kids play Roblox sometimes. I don't know that they're even going to be aware that there's like a Hugo Boss experience at all. I'm not sure. I'm not really in there often, but I think that from a creative standpoint, it's good to try and engage with other demographics and younger generations and in order to retain relevance for, what's been a brand that's been around for quite a while now. But I don't know if this is it. I don't know if this is really going to boost their sales numbers or not. It'll be interesting to see. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I will say that I think that Roblox itself as a platform for fashion brands is definitely, there's lots of brands that are starting to try this out. I think that, for me, what I've seen, with the work that we've been doing at ground level and sort of measuring crossover between Roblox engagement and physical world store engagement, they're very different audiences typically. So I think, from Hugo Boss point of view, I think it's smart to say, hey, look, if we're launching this Hugo Blue line, and it's a streetwear line and it's going after, Gen Z. And I was just looking at some of the pieces online here that are in it, and some of it looks pretty cool. Like there's this,
Yeah.
flower hoodie thing that I'd probably buy. There's stuff like that. Because I need to look younger, right? I'm getting old. So I think that there's an appeal there to a certain thing. I think it comes down to, from a gamification point of view for me, in something like Roblox, is what kind of rewards can I earn? What does that look like? How can I share this experience with my friends or others in Roblox or outside of Roblox? So that that measurement piece, I think, is interesting. And then, what kind of exclusivity exists in here? Like when Nike goes into a virtual store environment like this, there's typically exclusive shoes, or a pair of sneakers that you can't buy in the real stores. They can only be bought in the Roblox environment or something like
Right.
that. Like, so is there some element of that that I think that they're thinking about here? And again, like, I'll check it out for sure. And I do like, like when I look at the line, I think some of the pieces are pretty cool. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes, but that's my initial read on it.
There you go.
Okay, a final story now. So, coming back over here, we're going to talk about NextNav. That's one word. These guys have been at it, for a while now. They're big players in sort of three-dimensional location, so not just lat long, but the vertical side of it as well. They've just acquired some new spectrum through an acquisition in the 900 megahertz band. So this is valued at $50 million. They're paying a fraction of that, 2.5 million in cash, and then through the receivership. So they're buying this out of receivership essentially. The rest will be paid in common stock. But I think one of the things that for me that's interesting about NextNav is this whole sort of 3D, geolocation technology that they have. Like there's not many players that are able to do that kind of, real-time positioning in the way that they can. And I think when you're talking about public safety applications, E911, things like that, drone operations, you need to, it's not just a, here's a POI and here's its lat long, but you need to have that vertical position piece as well. So, I think adding this additional spectrum in the 900 megahertz band, through this, being able to pick this up essentially on the cheap, I think is a good move for them. And these guys are global as well. I know, like, our operations at the LBMA in Japan, some of our members there have been teaming up with NextNav, and here in the US as well. I know they have partnerships with here and others. So, I'm always intrigued to follow these guys and kind of see what they've got in store next for us. Not a lot to add to it, but I just think it's a smart move for them.
Yeah, not much to add. I completely agree. One to watch.
All right. There you go. So that's our show for this week, folks. Quick and easy. Some interesting stuff there from Germany. While I'm on that particular subject matter, I just want to mention our upcoming retail local conferences, which are just around the corner now. So both are happening in April. So we will be in Munich for our European conference. And that is happening the dates are just escaped me top of my head. I had them there and then they were gone. The 10th to the 12th of April, sorry. We will be there in Munich. So Beacon's Mind, Hugo Boss, anybody else who's listening, come on over to Munich and join us for the LVMA Retail Local Conference, which will be happening inside of the Munich Airport, who's hosting us this year. So that'll be super easy to get to. And then stateside, we will be in partnership with Mall of America, running Retail Loco Americas at their facility April 24th and 25th in Minneapolis. So there's still opportunities to join us if you want to sponsor or speak or things like that. And of course, you can just attend and take in all the learnings that are available there. So we appreciate all of that and hope to see you soon. Thanks, everybody. And we'll be back with another show next week. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.